About a week before Governor Snyder's announcement, a few dozen people came to an evening community meeting at a Northwest Detroit church. The weary Detroiters shared stories about conditions in their neighborhoods and problems like illegal dumping, crime, and unsecured vacant houses. They already knew an emergency manager was coming. Some people, like Tom Wilson, think that's okay.
Well, I mean, it's either that or bankruptcy. It's like, you know, both of them are going to hurt, but it's like, which is going to hurt the less? And, you know, to me, it doesn't matter. Let's go ahead and get this thing done, get hurt, and then go through the healing process.
It's no secret that Detroit is drowning in red ink, and in that respect, it's not alone. Several other Michigan cities, like Flint and Benton Harbor, have been under some form of emergency management for years now. So has Ecorse, a blue-collar Detroit suburb with fewer than 10,000 people. Joyce Parker is Ecorse's emergency financial manager. She's been there since 2009. Now she's in the process of transitioning out.
The budget for the city is balanced. The bills have been paid in a timely manner.
Parker says an effective emergency manager needs to listen to a city's elected officials and to community members. But at the end of the day, she has the power to make painful decisions. In Ecorse's case, city staff was cut by about 40%. The police and fire departments merged, and emergency medical service was privatized. As a result, Parker says,
to a great extent, I do think that the city is stronger than it has been in the past.
But many others argue that cities in trouble need real resources, not someone who just cuts costs, tears up union contracts, and sells off assets, all while usurping the powers of local elected officials. That's Rashida Tlaib's view. She's a state legislator from Detroit. She grew up in southwest Detroit as the oldest of 14 children in a tight-knit immigrant family.
When we all used to be on the same block, it was, you know, a dream of us to kind of all live and raise our kids together, and I'm the only one left.
Tlaib gets visibly emotional when she talks about what Detroit's going through right now. She fears that an emergency manager will make life so unbearable that her neighbors, many lifelong Detroiters just like her, will get up and leave. She's also concerned that an emergency manager will just open up new avenues for corruption.
You know, emergency managers should not be coming in and moving around our taxpayer dollars without any kind of accountability or transparency. I don't understand how we can really truly change things if we're not self-governing ourselves.
This is happening because of money, and we don't have it.
That's Vince Keenan, another lifelong Detroiter and civic activist. His biggest fear is that the city will have to renege on some of the promises it's made to people like police officers and firefighters. But Keenan says Detroit city government as a whole hasn't really been serving its citizens for a long time. So lots of passionate and dedicated Detroiters have taken matters into their own hands at the micro level. He thinks a period of state control could be an opportunity to focus there and recharge Detroit's true civic lifeblood, its neighborhoods.
There's plenty of examples of really sort of incredible effort being put on by folks that had at one point in time felt abandoned and have built infrastructure to support not only themselves, but their neighbors.
Governor Snyder confidently proclaims that an emergency manager can fix Detroit if the state and the city can partner. But no one really knows what that means yet, nor do they know who the emergency manager will be. At best, emergency managers across Michigan have had mixed track records, and everyone knows that Detroit, still by far Michigan's largest city, is a whole different ballgame. I'm Sarah Swick, Michigan Radio News.